here I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you're looking for great companies to work with, you can always just go to the Mighty House team page. Click on the Mighty House team page at MightyHouse.net, and you'll just scroll down through there. You'll find heating and cooling companies. You also find Bill Fisher there. If you had a fire, a flood, anything like that, and you want some help with the insurance company to make sure you're going to get paid correctly, Bill Fisher's on there, and he can get you squared away. And then give us a call, 773-763-9278. And Lisa Albrecht from Solar Services and the Illinois Solar Energy Association is sitting in with us today, filling in for Robbie. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Hour three.
Yep. I'm sad. I'm having too
Goes
much
fast.
Fun.
Goes fast.
Goes fast. Just buzz right along.
You guys are nuts.
Huh? No.
In a good way. Good kind of nuts.
So
you're freaking nuts.
Where are you heading there, Ron? Because you posted a bunch of stuff on Facebook. Some of it's silly electrical.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably because you're an electrician.
Yeah, that's some of the deals I was running into. But before we do that, we've got Mike from Cornell. He's been waiting patiently to talk to Lisa about some solar stuff. And let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for hanging on for, 45 minutes?
I hung up and called back.
So. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Well, go ahead. Your question for Lisa?
Yeah. We've been looking to get solar on our house and barn. I live out in the country for quite a while now, and we finally got a couple bids that came in pretty close to each other, which is not the real question. I guess the question is, as far as incentives go, I know that the federal incentive has been 30% for a long time, but my understanding is that's ending at the end of this year. And with Illinois, I kept putting it off and putting it off because their 30% seemed impossible to get. And now they're doing these I think they're called SRECs, where you get a guaranteed rate.
Yes.
Kilowatt hour produced or whatever, for 5 years. But my understanding is those are limited and running out as well. And then at the beginning of the segment today, when you talked about legislation you're working on, I'm just wondering, should I get going, commit this year, take what I can get now, or take my chances on what may be coming down the line?
I would say, let me answer a couple of things. There was a couple of things there. So first of all, the federal tax credit has been extended to 2022. So that's great news. There is a stepping down in the last 2 years from the 30%, but it has been extended. So there isn't a cliff this year for the federal level. The 30% state rebate, that program is, it's technically there. We did get that extended. The Illinois Solar Energy Association got that extended through legislation to 2020. However, with the budget crisis, I'll be shocked if we ever see those dollars.
Well, right now, it's just because the governor froze all spending and all of the accounting. Right. So all the accounts are frozen right now. The money's sitting there just piling up, is it not?
Yes.
Because that's coming in from your utility.
Ratepayer charges.
So that money's just going into that account and it's just piling up. So at some point, all this breaks, they're going to have that money.
We anticipate they'll sweep that money.
They're going to
use it for something else. So unless they surprise us, that's always possible. The current Renewable Energy Credit Program, or RECs, or some people call it SRECs, which is Solar Renewable Energy Credits. That's a great program. Basically, what it does, for every single kilowatt hour of energy that you produce, you are paid because you are avoiding a dirty one on the grid. And so that program will pay you for it. Installers were able to pre-purchase these, much like a Girl Scout. You know, she takes door-to-door orders of cookies, but then she always orders Thin Mints, very much the, it's kind of how that works in the SREC market. So solar installers pre-purchased. Those actually need to be assigned to customers by the end of December. But there are some, a little bit of wiggle room in how to do that. You don't have to have your installation completed or installed by that time, just to be signed up. So that's a great program. As far as the new legislation, we've been at this 2 years. You know, I don't know what, you know, how long it's going to be, you know, before we actually get passed. And then it'll take some time to put, you know, to get everything into the rulemaking process. So I think, you know, participating now, if you're ready to go, go. You know, sitting on the fence is, you know, you never know. You mentioned that you had waited for the renewable energy rebates, and those are gone. You know, so it's always a little bit tricky. We will have in 2017 another auction, actually probably two more auctions under our old system. So there are some things moving forward, but policy always changes. And so if you're waiting for perfect policy, you'll never really pull the trigger. So I would say, you know, the best thing is, you know, make a decision for your family financially. If you're ready to go, go. I've never met a single solar person who said, gosh, I wish I waited. Everybody that I've ever spoken said, gosh, I wish I did this sooner.
Right. And I put them on my house 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
I forget they're up there.
Yeah.
They're just up there doing their thing. And every month I get a report saying, hey, we've produced this much. But am I sorry I did it? Well, because I can buy them for a lot less today.
Yep. But pricing's always coming down.
The price is always coming down. And, you know, when I was looking to start my business and you know, 20-some years ago, they said, when's a good time to start your business? In a good market, a bad market? The time to start your business is when you're ready to start it.
Yep.
and get the thing rolling. The economy's always going to have its ups and downs. And if you're ready to go and you're ready to take that step, then just step out there and go.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that helps.
I guess the question I have is still on the SRECs and everything, because I have one installer that says, well, they have, you know, $30,000 left of, or 30 kilowatt left of, you know, SRECs at a certain rate. And so when you mentioned an auction, is it so that rate is going to be variable? Change?
Yeah, so it does vary from installer to installer. So find out what they have pre-contracted with. There was three different companies that the state will deal with, because they don't want to sign a contract with every single homeowner. So they had what's called an aggregator. And so installers literally auction into the program. So everybody could have a different price. A little confusing for consumers. The aggregators will have a handling fee. Everybody has a different amount that they bought. So somebody might be running out of credits. I would definitely ask some good questions of your installer to better understand, you know, is this before or after the aggregator fee? Just to make sure you're comparing apples to apples.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that take care of you there, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, another general question is obviously with money and everything, are there any good places you would recommend that are comfortable working with, you know, solar installers as far as, you know, getting loans and stuff like that, because you got to put all that money up front and then you got to wait for the rebate to come back, and the payback on the SRECs comes out over like five years.
Yep. You know, in my experience, you've got a great relationship with your mortgage broker, and typically just doing a home improvement loan or something along those lines, or just working with your bank. There certainly are a few players, but really the Illinois market, surprisingly, we only have about 700 total installations in the state. So we don't necessarily have a lot of the back end services yet here in the state. So working with your bank, they love solar typically because they understand that it's actually saving you money, which helps you pay them back. And so usually you can get a, you know, pretty good rate with your mortgage guy, who's happy to give you a little more money for some
of
these.
And also, if you call Devon Bank, they're really big on the solar and wind stuff. So they might actually be able to work with you to get something done for that also. So just go to devonbank.com and give them a call. And they work with people all over the country, not just in the Chicago area here. So.
All right. Yeah. Cause I'm way outside Chicago. In fact, I haven't even contacted Lisa's company to possibly bid. No, oh. Sorry, far away.
A little too far. Yeah, a little too far.
Well, good. All right. Good luck with that, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All the best.
Bye.
So that's the problem. People want to do it, but then it's like so confusing. So then it's not so much that he wants to wait for any particular reason. He's just not even sure if he's getting the good deal. Well, is he getting what's available?
Right. And that's the tricky part here in Illinois is that we have, you know, the industry has a joke called the solar coaster. It's the ups and downs. And that's the part, the challenging part,
sure.
you know, of all of it. Why is there pretty music in my ear?
I got it, too. It usually means we're coming up on a break.
I thought it was a break, but I didn't see the break symbol. Are we going to get a
Wait, you're going to understand here in a second. Yep, you ready? Here goes.
Of sunshine coming down.
Very nice.
That's all I was getting to, right there.
All right. I could not remember. so it is tricky of really navigating state policy. It's confusing. It's confusing for me. I can't imagine how confusing it is for customers. So that's why I say, you know, nobody's got a good crystal ball. We've got, you know, some great things that we think are coming down the line, but nothing's been approved by the legislature. We've been at it that for 2 years. We do have some great programs today. So if the dollars are working for you right now as you're sitting there and doing the math, don't make yourself crazy by what-ifing yourself and just jump in.
What if somebody's got a kind, they're kind of handy at home. Can they just buy the panels and put them in themselves? Is that an option to try and save a couple of bucks?
Some municipalities won't let you do that, and then with some of the incentives, it needs to be like for the to get those renewable energy credits, you do need to have a certified installer as part of your team there. So so not if you're going to take
what does certified mean?
So the state of Illinois does have a certification process called DG, Distributed Generation Certification. Not everybody, you know, even an electrician who's very familiar with AC electricity doesn't necessarily have the technical skills.
Did you get that done, Ron?
So finding somebody who is skilled and experienced, you know, just like tip of the week, you know, finding an installer who has experience under their belt. They've been at this for at least 3 years, if not longer.
Right.
You don't want somebody learning on your roof. And we all learn every single day, but, you know, you're looking for experience.
Yeah. An electrical experience, you know, that all of that stuff, it makes a difference. And when you start looking at the amperage that's coming off those solar panels in DC, there's a wild difference than if that was AC. Yeah. And so,
and when you chain them together in series, now things are changing rapidly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a big difference, and you need to know how to calculate the wire size and all that.
Yep. Well, and it's also more than just the electrical. You've also got the mechanical. So, so you know, I don't know that
the mechanical I can do. The electrical,
I wouldn't trust every homeowner in the world to work on their own roof. And to get things sealed properly to make sure you don't have water damage down the road. You know, I mean, there's a lot of variables, you know, making sure that you've got your clearances, you know, there's going to be wind pressures up on your roof. And so making sure that the structure
is capable.
See,
and that's one of the issues, big issues we have down here then, because with the hurricane, is your attachment of your panels to your roof is hugely.
It's like a sail now.
And there's special lugs that you need to use that are torqued to a very specific pressure, and is that the right word? Pressure? Mm-hmm. When you're torquing something, is it to a pressure? I don't know the language, but there's manufacturer specifications to make sure that when we put these things on the roof that they stay there.
Right. Yep. And you need to check them once in a while. But I mean, the one thing I do like about the solar stuff is that you install it, you can check it once in a while, but it's just up there working.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great thing is we now have online monitoring. So you put a silent thing on your roof. How do you know that it's working? And we've got this really, you know, all inverters now have online monitoring systems. Send you a report. How's it doing? If it's not working, it sends you an alert, an email that says, hey, something's not right. Go look at it.
Yep.
So you don't have to go months and months and months until you see your electric bill and go, oh, shoot. I don't think I'm saving everything I should be saving. So it makes it very simple.
Well, and it'll, you know, when the kids unplug the cable line to plug in their, you know, whatever game they want to play, and it'll send you an alert saying, hey, you know, we're not communicating. You know, tell the kids to.
Yeah, I had a few of that this week, actually. It's funny you mentioned because I had three customers that I noticed that I got an alert on. And I said, hey, can you check your router?
Right. Your kid's unplugged.
Your solar's fine. It's your router that's the problem.
Exactly. So, all right. Nice. When we come back, we've got some. Lisa's got a bunch of questions. We got to help her out yet. So we've got Lisa's questions coming up. And your phone calls, 773-763-9267. 7-8. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
In the truck, I just kind of lay back, cause my brother-in-law's there to pick up all the slack. Sometimes I don't make it out of the sack, cause I'm a big-time remodeler. Daddy worked with his hands till the day he died. He only had six fingers, but at least he tried. Said he had a license, but I know he lied. I'm a big-time remodeler. Well, I got me a fine wife, swings a mean hammer. Does all my books, keeps me out of the slammer. Play a lot of golf, so I keep a getting tanner. I'm a big-time remodeler.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And got a couple minutes left here in the show. You give us a call, 773-763-9278.
Well, I got me a fine wife, swings a mean hammer. Does all my books, keeps me out of the slammer. Play a lot of golf, so I keep a getting tenner. I'm a big time remodeler. Yeah, I'm a big time remodeler.
Wasn't that you, Rich, when you were up here? You were playing golf?
Played golf, yes. And yes, the phone would ring. I just called
them
out
in
the
field. Mighty, mighty
no. But my wife does have a nice pink hammer. Does she? She always works with me. She has her little tool belt. And she works.
She swings a mean frying pan, though.
Yeah, I try to duck.
All right, so we invited Lisa from Solar Services to come on and fill in for Robbie today, and appreciate your time. So in return, you came in with a big list of things that you needed some help with. So here you are.
Well, I mostly have one major issue, and it's kind of critical because it's the lock on my front door. Now, fortunately, I live in a condo, so I've got a couple locked doors before I get to my locked door. But the door and the strike, look at that, I looked up the word.
Mm-hmm.
The door and the strike are no longer in
alignment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do I fix that? Because I can't, I thought, well, I'll take the strike off, but I only need to change a little bit, and I don't know that there's enough wood left.
Don't move the strike plate.
Yeah, don't move. Well, hold on.
Right now, the back set, the point that comes out of the door,
yeah,
that's called the back set. That is lower than your strike plate, I would assume.
It's actually higher. But
higher?
Yeah.
Higher.
Yeah.
Ooh, good one.
Somehow my
that's
door
unusual.
Seems
yeah.
a little... Yeah, because I took a little pen and I drew, and it looks to me to be higher.
The
bolty thing.
The bolty thing is higher than the strike plate.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. That is unusual. So basically what I would try to do is get a flat bar or a screwdriver, which we chisel punch pry bar, a flat screwdriver, a little leverage, go under the bottom of the jam side, see if you can lift the jam up. Just go straight up.
Okay.
The jam is the wood being on the side.
Where the wood connects, where the door connects to the wall.
Right.
That's the jam side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but not the hinge side. You want to do it on the strike side. So you want to see if you can lift the jam side or the strike side of the frame up so that hits, because it's possible whoever installed that door, I don't know, I would assume it's an older door, right?
That's at least 100 years old.
Oh. Okay.
So, I mean, that's what I was figuring, because those are usually pretty stable, so you may have some settling going on.
Especially after 100 years.
Because I did notice it was getting a little tight and tight and tight, and now it doesn't turn at all.
Okay.
The lock works great, and I even put a little WD-40 because I thought, well, maybe it's just the mechanism in the lock, but no, the lock is great.
The deadbolt,
it's a deadbolt, yeah.
Okay.
So once the door is closed, there's no go.
Okay. So where Rich was going and where I was going, we were both kind of just like getting, chomping at the bit to get to the same spot, is usually what happens is the top hinge loosens up and the door sags a little bit, and now it doesn't latch anymore.
Yeah.
So the first thing I do when I have a door that's not latching, I open the door about halfway, grab onto the handle, and lift up on it, and see if the door moves at all.
Okay.
And watch the hinges. If the hinges start to flex, then you know you got to tighten up the screws in the hinges first.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So that's the first thing I check. I grab the doorknob, and I just lift up on it.
Okay.
Right. Door wiggles, I tighten that up. Now I try and close
problem
it again.
Problem is, her door is higher than the strike plate,
right,
which means it's
and
not
even,
the hinge.
Even unlocked, I have to really put a lot of weight into get the door even to open. Like, and I didn't know if that was because it's been so humid. Is it just a little swollen?
It could be that.
But
it could
be that, most of the time, it's a little bit of a sticky door. But right now, I have to really swing my hip and really push hard just to get the door to open.
Well, it has been really humid, and you know, and I'm sure you got the windows open because it's not hot. So that humidity is going to make a lot of doors swell right now. That as soon as you turn on your heat, it's going to dry out and it'll be fine. Go ahead.
Is the door rubbing on the head, the top frame, top jamb?
That's a good question. Jamb? It's low.
Okay.
One of the other things you could do is put like a shim on the top of the door, and you wedge it in there, and it may lift the head, which would then pull that up.
Oh, okay.
You should have eighth inch margin all the way around. But I would start with that, a flat bar or a screwdriver with a little bit of a, you know, a fulcrum, and try to lift that strike side up.
Okay.
Yep. So then, if it's all tight, my next step, I go straight to the small file, and you can, if you stop at the, hardware store, they sell a file pack and it'll be $2 or $3. And you have a bunch of different sizes. And there's usually one that's shaped like a triangle. That's my favorite one. And then you take that and you just kind of clean off the top of the strike plate so that you create some room in there, because you can't move the strike plate just a little bit because the screws are never going to line up again.
Yeah.
So use that, and it'll be a metal file, and you just, because it's a brass strike plate, it'll file up. It'll take a couple of shots at it. Just hit it, and then if there's any wood in the way, it'll clean that out at the same time. Your door will open and close. Boom,
okay.
Done.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So start with the screws. Wiggle the door. See if it's tight. And then
you can try Rich's thing and make sure that jam's not moving.
Yeah.
So if you're able to move it, then you know you need to secure that, lift it back up into place and secure it. But Rich?
Yeah, because normally, like what we would do is I would, if everything's twisted, like you said, or the door's too high above the strike plate, I would actually take a little bit of cardboard and put it behind the top hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, put it behind the top hinge, that'll push the door over, mm-hmm, which then pushes the strike down. So, you know what I mean? It depends on how far you got to do it, and it goes back to your margins. If you don't have enough room on that strike side, you don't have an eighth-inch margin there, you can't push the door over, because obviously it'll just start rubbing then.
Okay.
So, you know, there's things you can do to tweak a door, but, you know, you just got to look at all your margins and so on.
Yep.
And then just along that lines, real quick, Ron, I was in a box store yesterday, and I saw a keyed entrance lock.
Yeah.
$9.97.
Uh-huh. Yep.
How good do you think that is? The package had to cost, you know, this thing's made in China.
Oh, yeah.
Put in a package, put in a container, shipped across the ocean.
Right.
Put in on a truck or a train in California, brought all the way down to Naples, Florida.
Yep. For
$9.97.
Right.
Now, that's got to be what I call a high-quality product.
That's a deal.
Right. But, Rich, in all defense.
Yeah.
What do locks do? What type of people do locks keep out?
Well, I know we use those to keep honest people out. My point is how long can you even turn the handle before it falls off?
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot make this thing out of a high-quality material with great engineering and stampings and do all that for $9.97. It just isn't
possible. Sure you can. Sure you can.
And this is why people that flip houses, they love those.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's pure profit.
Oh,
me,
sure.
You couldn't pay me to buy a flip.
Right.
A finished one.
No. It's awful.
It's just awful.
So I'm glad that you mentioned the big box, because I actually today am shopping. A friend of mine's doing a major bathroom remodel, and I get to pick all the materials.
Woo-hoo! You get to spend somebody else's money?
I'm spending somebody else's money.
Rocket.
That's always fun.
But he knows that I will spend wisely, and I'm not going to blow his budget, as opposed to his contractor.
Oh, well, go over to Crawford Supply.
Crawford Supply.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I need a bathroom vanity. I need sink. He wants to just refinish the tub. I did find, because I went over to Restore,
mm-hmm,
over at Pulaski and Foster. Is that right? And wow.
They've got a lot of good stuff there, too.
For $36, I bought the entire, I got 6-inch tile for, mm-hmm, the floor, mm-hmm, and we bought all of it, because I figured, okay, well, eventually he's going to be redoing other parts, so maybe the entryway to the house, and so then they're the same. It's more than what we need in a small bathroom, but man, did I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does his kitchen, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Yes. Such great. And refrigerators, they had amazing stuff. But Crawford Supply for the vanity. And,
right.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll find the vanity per se there. You still might end up at a box store. But seriously, if you can get all your fixtures, faucets, and things like that,
yep,
they'll be a little bit more money than the box store. But again, you will never
quality.
Have to replace them.
Yeah.
Right.
There is a big difference between supply house faucets and box store faucets.
Yeah. And there's Crawford Supply. There's one on Lincoln now. So they have a store showroom right there on Lincoln Avenue. So that should be pretty close to your house.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think Big Blue says they have a pro line, which is supposed to be closer to the supply houses. Like all the drains will be metal. They won't be the plastic and so on. But I don't know. I find it hard to find them.
Yeah. It's 3924 North Lincoln.
3924 North Lincoln. Okay, great. That is close to where I need to be.
Yeah. So swinging, they've got good prices, and they'll be able to hook you up and get you squared away.
Okay.
And I'm sure, no, they don't have the $6,000 toilet. You ought to just present that to
remember,
your
remember, the reason why he wants me to do the shopping is he knows that I won't go after a $6,000 toilet.
But it opens automatically when you walk up to it, and it starts playing music.
Because it's so
and
inconvenient.
And it has an anti-stink feature and a rinse feature and a bidet feature and a remote for flushing from
for
the
For that,
bed.
I hope it's bedazzled.
Yeah, and it's got an app for your phone. So, I mean, what more do you want?
I'm always so surprised at people who are on the phone in public places, in the bathroom. Really?
I always make a point to flush twice if I see somebody with a phone.
Yeah.
If they're on the phone, I just stand at the urinal, just flush.
Keep flushing.
Yeah, just because they should know where they rate.
Yeah. You can wait a little bit, you
anyway,
know?
So that's great. So those are my two big projects for fixing my door and spending my friend's money.
Yeah.
And remodeling his bathroom.
That
nice.
It's always great spending somebody else's money. That's a lot of fun. So Crawford Supply, Lincoln, they're a good spot. And then the Restore, you never know what they're going to have. So that's constantly changing. We take a truck down there every couple of weeks. We're dropping stuff off.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to windows, doors. Like you said, the appliances, which they now carry new appliances, washers and dryers, refrigerators, stoves. So they get new stuff in there. Ace Hardware, they recently just had their show. Then they just drop everything off for them.
That was
crazy.
A great selection.
Yeah, that was crazy what they got from the Ace Hardware show.
Yeah. So, all right, Rich, you wanted to talk about, was it the insulation or the electrical stuff that we had?
I was just going back to your stuff on Facebook, and I actually closed Facebook because apparently all the other retirees are getting up down here, and my internet is, you know, it'll start acting up.
Okay.
So, anyway, no, you posted a box, it was actually a 1900 box.
Yep.
That was screwed to a wall, and when you opened up the cover, it was all just the wires taped together.
Yes, no wire nuts, and then tape over the wire nuts.
Were they at least mechanically fastened? Whereas they were twisted with a pair of Klein quality alignments where you twist them together nice and tight.
No. See, and the problem was I was tracing a short. Some stuff wasn't working anymore and couldn't figure out why.
Oh god.
So I'm opening boxes.
Okay. And so Lisa, he tells me before the show that we were talking about this one box on there, and they had multiple colors of wires as the neutrals.
Right. So on your neutral wire. Yeah, the neutral wire, that's usually the white wire, or it could be gray. They were using every color. There was black, red, yellow, and white all in the neutral clump.
Okay, so I'm not the electrician. However, all those colors have meaning.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so that we can all generally assume that if I see red, it's hot.
Yep.
So white, they all have meaning.
Right.
But they were just using them randomly for anything?
Right.
Yes.
And so then and on top of that, in that box, they had jumpers going from one clump to another clump trying to make things work. It was insane. So
what do you call a clump jumper? Is that still a pigtail?
Well, no, a pigtail would be going off to a device like a switch or an outlet. That's a pigtail.
So then it's just a clump jumper.
It would be a clump jumper, I think.
That's funny.
Well don't you just put the six of them together and then you get the big gray wire nut?
Yes, exactly.
Your before and after pictures were pretty great. It's funny because we'll come in to do solar, and I typically don't take the cover off the electrical panel, but we need to once we get to start to do the interconnection.
Sure.
Right.
And we'll open up a panel and we're like, we're not sure that they'll pass the solar, but they're not going to love the rest of what's in
here. Wire nuts are not supposed to be inside your...
And the rat's nest that you get in there often is such a confusing...
You use that term too, huh?
Rat's
I always nest. Talk about phone lines in people's houses like
oh,
that.
Oh, boy.
I go, we won't touch your phone lines because it's a rat's nest. She goes, where's there's rats?
Right.
No, I just mean it looks like a rat's nest and they're all clumped together so we're not touching
it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so that that box, and then some. You said that it's not the same box.
I don't have Facebook open right now, but he says here's the before and after pictures of that box, and I said that's not the same box. The original one had rounded corners, had a different screw pattern. The garden cover was different. So I go, that's not the same box.
Right.
I go, it's just the same wires in a new box. He goes, no, it's not even the same wires.
No, there's no way these wires are the same.
It's the same location. There's two.
There you go.
It's the same location because that was a garage outlet that needed to be a GFI. So when I opened it all up. And I was trying to find the short, and then I was trying to figure out what was hot, what was in the neutral, what I just said, forget it. I just ripped it all out.
Well, there's electrical tape. That's good, right?
No.
Does that
just like Will said, it just feeds the fire. When it starts arcing, you got to have that adhesive to get that fire going.
Yeah. It's something to keep the flames moving, you know? So
again, a good reason why you get a good contractor.
Yeah, well, you know.
He's going to just close his eyes to a problem that he accidentally
found.
Well,
this goes back to what we always said about box stores and stuff. Why they sell certain things is beyond me.
Yeah, they shouldn't sell some stuff. It's just, it's not right.
Yeah.
Oh.
BX isn't legal. Don't sell BX.
Or Romex.
Well, that's, we wire everything with that.
Extension cords. All right. Yes. Clutter Clarity's up next. That's what everybody's waiting for. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right, there we go. Last segment already, Lisa. We're done. Bob from our sales called, says the fact that the house is 100 years old means that it's possible the door is that old and modern heat causes those old door panels to fall apart and it may need to be rebuilt. So when you're moving that door,
I'll check that
watch
out too.
The door too, because that could be loosening up.
Okay.
But
thank you.
You also had one.
From Mike from Cornell.
Yeah. So he was asking, just a follow up. It says that you said the certified installers in order to get the SCRCs. So does in order to get the 30% federal refund or tax credit, because they don't give you a refund, tax credit, do they require the installer to be certified?
No, on the federal level, there isn't a requirement, and you can do self-install. But if you do self-install, you just can't add labor to your cost. So on the federal tax credit, you do have some options there.
Right.
Well, that's silly.
Well, and
they don't even give you a little leeway for the labor. I mean, well, you can't inflate the
whether
labor,
you got, you know, I'm sure if you got audited, but
right. So then you got to deal with it if you get audited. So, you know, the whole idea, if you're going to install it yourself anyway, you know, and maybe you can talk to the contractor and they'll help you do part of it, and you know they'll come in and do the final inspection and make sure it's all connected right and run through the system and spend a few hours doing a system check and then certify it and fire it up. So, you know, you might find somebody that wants to do that too. So it's an option.
Let me give you a little thing about self-install.
Yeah,
that's just stupid.
I agree.
Real simply, why?
What?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm a pretty handy guy. I mean, I built cars. You know, frame off restored cars. I have tons of tools for doing stuff like that. I do carpentry. All this. Okay. I don't even install my own garage doors. How hard is it to put up two rails, two springs, an opener, and, you know, four panels?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a hassle factor.
I guarantee you that I don't have all the correct tools all the time, although I have enough to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, my installers, they do a great job. They do it in half an hour. There's no, everything works. You know, me, it would be a damn near a full day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still not sure I'd have it 100% right. It would work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like some things just aren't worth doing.
Some things are specialty, yeah.
I would say drywall falls into that category for me.
No, unfortunately, I know how to do that too well, so that's like easy.
I can do it. That's not the problem. It's just so much easier to, hey guys, come on. And they come in, they bang the thing up. They're in and out in a day, you know, and I'm still mixing mud, you know, putting my first coat on, and they're done. So
yeah.
They're just so much faster with the bazookas and the equipment they can use. And so
they do not use bazookas and boxes down here.
No?
No, they pretty much hand do everything.
Oh, that's because you...
Wait, what's a bazooka?
They use a pan and knife. No, then they come in with a machine and they
spatter
crap all over it, yeah. So you have a, you know, knockdown finish.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I hate.
They cheat. That's why they don't use it.
Right.
But a bazooka is, it's like a taping, it's a big taping pole. It's got the mud in it, the paper on it, and so you just go, and it goes, and go across the wall, and it fills it, does it all in one shot.
How do you do that?
But somebody, which is different than the plants, which are,
right.
Yes, it's similar, but it's a completely
different.
It's
a little
different.
Bit different.
It's,
yeah,
it is different.
Different. Yeah.
Don't confuse.
So
the
do
two
they
techniques.
Still come through and feather and okay? Yeah. So it's just a faster to get that one step done.
Well, no, it's just to get the tape applied over the joints. In order to go over the tape to make the tape disappear, they use what's called a box.
Mm-hmm.
And the box is literally looks like a box on a pole. Do you ever, like the sweepers where they got that black bin that you sweep off the floor?
Yeah.
The box looks similar to that in the setup, but you pump it full of mud, and when you glide it along a wall, it puts a layer of mud on over the tape.
So, kids, something that I could do, but probably not well.
Well, it
takes
speeds
experience.
Up. Oh, yeah. But it's still so much faster than using just a pan and stuff. So, you know, those guys that come
down,
in.
And down here, a lot of our ceilings are literally, they're 14 feet.
Ugh.
So there's guys on 8-foot tall.
Scaffold?
Stilts?
No. Oh, stilts.
Stilts.
Oh, yeah,
stilts.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, dude.
I think we can guarantee I would fall and break my neck.
It's pretty cool. I mean, some of these guys are really, really good at it.
Yeah. So. All right. Are we ready?
Are we going to do? Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Here we go.
If I'm going to fill her shoes.
Huh?
If I'm going to fill her shoes, I'm going to fill them.
Okay.
Drink. Let's do it with the anti.
Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Lisa with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison.
I wish I was going to learn the words.
Lord, help me get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery.
Bee's into it. Look at this. She just rocks.
I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
All right. So I'm not sure it's so much of a tip.
It is.
But, okay, so I've been talking to a couple of my friends, and I think this is a brilliant idea, and I've talked to my sisters, too. So, one of the biggest issues...
Wait, what are you laughing at?
I haven't even said anything.
Because I've talked to all my friends, so they say this is great, so it's great.
They think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So, I find, I don't know if this is true for you, but I find inertia is my biggest issue. Once I get started on a project... Usually I get started and then I'm like, oh shoot, I got a little too far ahead of myself here. Now I have to finish.
Right.
But a lot of times I find it very difficult just to get started. So why start alone? So what I've suggested to my sisters and a couple of my friends is we all came up with a to-do list for our household stuff. I need to fix this. I need to clean that. I need to get this closet in order, whatever it might be.
Your honey-do list.
And then my honey-do list, and then have a party.
A honeydew
so
party.
So I invite all my friends over to the party. Now, the homeowner, whoever's house it is, gets to prioritize, and they're the GC for the day. Unless they want to relinquish that
that power?
That to someone else. Like, a lot of my friends would relinquish it to me. Like, I'm the one who, Lisa, my faucet's dripping. Can you come and fix my faucet? My husband doesn't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, So you could be the GC, or you can assign the GC ship to someone else, and everybody else is just your little drones, and they have to do what they're told. But then you're having fun. You could mm-hmm. have drinks. So you might do my house this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe in a couple weeks, because we don't want to do this every single
like
weekend.
Once a
but
month?
Then you rotate and you pick a house,
mm-hmm.
and you go through the list, and then you've got more hands makes light work easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're dividing it up. You have the inertia, you have the excitement of having your friends come over. It can be a little embarrassing. Because it's like, well, I don't really want anybody to look in the mess in my basement. That's the one thing I hear every single time when I go to do a solar survey. People are like, I'm really sorry about my basement. I'm like, you know, that's what basements are for.
Right.
But, you know, but then it gives you that inertia, especially projects that you yourself are like, this, I'll never, you know, it's been on my list for 3 years. I have so much guilt and stress over this. I just can't get started. And your friends will walk in with bright, cheery faces and get started on your project.
Just knock
it
out.
And then knock it out. And then you can get much further with help, and maybe you get 10 things off your list, and now you can breathe. You come home, you know, your friends go home, and you can, whoo, I had a great day. We got all this great work done. And then next month we'll do someone else's house. So you make a party out of it. It's not a drudgery. It's something that you're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really get creative on your list, because if you've got like a friend who's really good at painting, or a friend who's really good at, you know, somebody who's really creative to say, listen, I have this problem in my bathroom. You know, what do you think that we could do to make this look better or whatever? So you can and rely on your talents. And I'm always much more eager to go help my friends do something than to go do my own stuff. So eventually they end up at your house if you're that person who would rather go do other people's problems than yours. Eventually they're going to end up at your house, and then your stuff gets done too.
Well, and they're going to force you to do it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think especially I'm single girl living in the big city, you know, so I don't necessarily have someone to either remind me that I've talked about this project for a long time, nag, or someone to help me do the project, you know, so this way I don't feel overwhelmed by it. I don't feel, you know, so even if it's cleaning out a closet, and some people need that help. Some people need somebody like a Robbie or to go, okay, we're going to make two piles. Do I want this or do I need this? And then we're going to go through the want pile again to make mm-hmm. sure it's something you need. Because sometimes it's really hard to go through. And by the time, especially like if it's, you know, your kids' projects from the third grade. Okay, yeah, it was cute. Do you really need, like, which some should be kept.
Man, now she sounds just like Robbie.
Yeah, there we go.
Some can be kept, but not all.
There's
and
Robbie.
Sometimes it's really hard to let go of your own stuff, but your friends can say, hey, you know what? You actually haven't worn that dress in 4 years, and frankly, it doesn't look that good on you anyway. So you need a little truth telling, and so you're going to need to be open to all that. We don't want to have, you know, you lose any friends over this event.
Right.
But I think it can be a really fun way to tackle a project.
So it's a honeydew party.
It's a honeydew party.
So at what point is there always a honeydew list then? Is this always going to rotate?
You could.
Once you get done with somebody's house, then they're going to go, well, my stuff's done. I'm not coming to yours.
Right.
What happens
okay.
then?
Then those friends need
right?
to be held accountable.
Well, I got
right.
my stuff done. I'm going fishing. I'm not going to come help you do your siding. Forget
well, hopefully
that.
Your friends are good enough friends that you know which ones you can count on
okay.
and which
and
ones I'm you can't.
And you'll be sure they're not going to re-side the house. It's a honeydew thing. It's a maintenance thing.
Yeah.
The house is kind of
right. A big project you wouldn't necessarily take them, but cleaning the garage, cleaning out the basement, doing a closet, yeah. Reorganizing the kitchen, you know, or all of the above, you know, that could be something that's a lot more fun. Or even if it's a gardening project, you know, maybe your garden
lawn.
Is out of you know control and you need help.
Lawn, have
yeah,
something to run
anything, out. Anything is fair game.
Cool.
That's my tip.
Excellent. What do you think, Rich? Good tip.
I like it. I actually think so. Hell of a good idea to have a little to-do party.
Yeah.
To-do party.
Yeah.
We'll have to come up with
like
a good...
honey-do party.
What could be a do-do party?
Ah, there you go, Robbie.
Start that way and that way. Robbie, love you.
Excellent. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Radio or Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. If you're looking for show sponsors, just go to MightyHouse.net, click on the Mighty House team page. Next week, we'll have another Mighty House Tip of the Week, the Mighty House Greenhouse and Clutter Clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks, everybody that called in today. We got to go out to Meekum and go do that Dodge experience in
Schaumburg. And don't forget to buy your solar raffle ticket for the Tesla.
That's it. And when that's
Illinois solar.
The draw, or when is it?
The last tickets are sold end of November, November 30th, I think. And right. The drawing's December 8th. IllinoisSolar.org.
All right. And Lisa, your information real quick, one more time.
I work at Solar Service, SolarServiceInc.com, and I'm on the board of directors for IllinoisSolar.org.
Excellent. Great. All right. Well, we appreciate your time, as always. And thanks for coming in today and filling in for Robbie.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. For Rich Cowgill and Lisa Albrecht, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until
next Saturday. Woo!